Good morning, Bridge City Church, Murraysville. How y'all doing today? You having a good morning here? Come on, so awesome to be with you here on Pentecost Sunday. What is Pentecost Sunday? We're going to unfold that for you today here. So look at your neighbor and say, Happy Pentecost Sunday. Now, how many of you are really not sure what you just did, but you did it. You were very obedient there. Very, very good. We're going to figure that out today here. Pentecost Sunday, what an awesome, awesome day. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you look on the Google Calendar or the calendar in your phone, regardless of what you have here, it says all kinds of day. There's Kwanzaa Day and Asherah Day and Diwali Day, but nowhere could I find on any calendar Pentecost Sunday day. Couldn't find it. And I'm looking, I'm thinking like, wait a minute, it's a significant moment that happened in Jesus' church, and I think we should mark it, and I think we should uncover what that really means. Pente means 50, so as Pastor Eric shared earlier, it's 50 days after Passover. Can you believe it's been 7 weeks since Easter? Time's flying, believe it. If you have faith and hope, we will see summer at some point. Come on, somebody. Yeah, that takes faith there. But so it means 50 here. It was a Jewish holiday, okay, that was often referred to as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest, where they brought the wheat harvest, the first of the harvest, where everybody traveled to Jerusalem, but also to remember the giving of the Ten Commandments. Let's launch today out of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of what? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It was a rushing what? It was a rushing wind. We were singing about that this morning here. This is the reference right here. And divided tongues as of what? Tongues of, everybody say fire. Come on, you got to say that with a little bit of attitude, like fire, okay? Fire. And a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Rested. Do you see the key words we're looking at here? It rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance here. So here we find everybody in Jerusalem. It was a big day, remembering the giving of the Ten Commandments, the first fruits here in the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is not just a New Testament term. It's also an Old Testament term as well here. Now, this marks right here, it marks the church's birthday. It really, I mean, we should have had a big cake today. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. It, not just the start of Bridge City Church, but the Big C Church, the church worldwide. This marks the birthday of the church. It was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of what we're still doing today over 2,000 years later. I find that kind of exciting. How about you? See, it's tied to here. So happy birthday, Jesus' church here. Now, going back to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4 there, and there's this thing called tongues here, and so I'm just going to speak to this right now. Okay, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 5, he says, I wish that you all would speak in tongues. Matter of fact, later on in verse 18, it's almost as if he's bragging, and he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. That's the Apostle Paul. How many of y'all know that's like the big guns right there. Come on. Yeah. And so tongues, that I believe in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. We're not going to get focused on that. I believe it's an evidence, not the evidence. I believe it's a evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I wish that you all did it. I wish that you all would do it more. Okay, but it's not what we're striving for. What we're really striving for is victorious lives living for Jesus Christ. We're striving for freedom, right? And there's other evidences of the Holy Spirit. We're going to uncover those today. That's what we're going to do. We're going to uncover them, like, what does it mean here? But the Holy Spirit is real. Like, when I met Jesus in a really real way, I was 15 years old, and I'm just so thankful that when I met Jesus, and I asked him to be the forgiver of my past and leader to my future. And my prayer went like this: God, you are really big and I'm little. Okay, kind of like a VeggieTales thing, for those of you who remember the VeggieTales. And I just said, God, would you come and help me live for you? That was my prayer. And I received the Holy Spirit at the same time. And I'm really thankful for that, because salvation and the Holy Spirit were one. That was just like one experience for me. And my mindset just became, then I uncovered and figured out what it really means to have a Spirit-led life. Because isn't that what we're after? The Holy Spirit leading us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How many sons and daughters do we have in here today? Come on. How many sons and daughters? Yeah. See, that's the Spirit of God leading and guiding us in freedom here and in all of those things. That's what that really, really means. So in the Old Testament, we see an example, we see a precursor to what happened here. What I'm trying to say to you, there's many things in the Old Testament, basically the first two-thirds of the Bible, that we see reflected in the last third, or we see it versa versa there. Okay, that's the way we see it. We see it. So in the Old Testament, we see in Exodus 19, there's a person in the Old Testament, Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Moses here, and there was the giving of the Ten Commandments, which God wrote his commandments on tablets. He wrote them on tablets, the Ten Commandments. And they're accompanied with wind and fire. That's what it had, wind and fire. In the New Testament, here in Acts chapter 2, we also see what? Wind and fire here. Wind and fire, that's what it was. Wind and fire. And God didn't write his law on tablets, he wrote it in our hearts. See, Old Testament, there was external, okay? New Testament, now we have, it's written on our hearts. Both have wind and fire. See, what I'm trying to say to you is the Old Testament, now we see this is that. God doesn't do things by like, you know, it's just a good day, you know, to send some wind and fire. No, they knew that. They were remembering that. It was the first fruits of more to come. And this is the first, and there's going to be a lot more coming with it. Okay? And so that's the significance of this thing called Pentecost here. And in verse 12 in chapter 2, and I wish that you would all write down Acts chapter 2. You want to read this week. You just want to read it over and over and understand what happened at the beginning of Jesus' church. This was church right after Jesus, 10 days after he ascended to heaven. This was the beginning of church. You know, so there used to be a statement all the time, like we about to have some church in here. And that we were talking about Acts chapter 2, okay? That's what we used to speak of here. And so verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? The same question, many are sitting here today saying, I know there's this thing called the Holy Spirit, But if you could look at one another and just like, what does this mean? Okay, you're asking the same question they asked at the beginning of the church here. You're asking the same question. What does this mean to us here? And Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, I want to let you know, God our Father and Jesus his Son are up in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here to help us now. Didn't Jesus ascend to heaven? God is seated in heaven on his throne, and the Holy Spirit is in the here and now. That's why we should get familiar with the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. What does this mean? And so in John, the Gospel of John, in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, there's a lot written about the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said, it's better for you that I leave and give you the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on, what could be better than Jesus? Come on, if you were standing there as one of his followers, it's like, come on, what could be better than you? I mean, you're the one who gives life and heals and sets free. You're the one who does all this. You're the one that flips over tables and can get away with it. Come on. You know, that's a Father's Day message right there. Come on, yeah. That's next week. I'm sorry. Surely I'm not digress. I guess I'm progressing too fast there. Come on. Yeah, but so we find, what does this mean? And there's five things Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. Five things: a helper, comforter, an advocate for us, teaches and reminds us, testifies of Jesus, convicts of sin, and guides us into things to come. How many of y'all could use at least one of those things right now? How many of y'all could use at least one? How many of y'all could use a little bit of comfort, a little bit of peace in a crazy world? Yeah, how many of y'all need reminded of stuff that Jesus said? Come on, right? Yeah, and testifies of Jesus, convicts of sin. Well, nobody's going to raise their hand there. Come on. And that guides us into things to come. This is what the Holy Spirit does. See, it's a help. It's a good thing. It's what we're all looking for and longing for here. So we see it in the Old Testament. And now we see Jesus said all these really super cool things would happen when the Holy Spirit comes. So here we have the big idea for you. The big idea, here it is. A Holy Spirit-filled church. A Holy Spirit-filled church will have these four evidences in the people. In the people. Remember, the people make up the church. These walls do not make up the church. Okay? We make up the church. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Nezib, come on, he's talking about you. Yeah. Okay? And so, what are the evidences of a Holy Spirit-filled church which has people that have courage? Everybody say courage. Everybody say conviction. How about conversions? And community. Okay, so Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come. He said we're going to have freedom, we're going to have advocate, we're going to have comfort and all these things. These are the evidences of a church people that believe in being led by the Spirit of God. How many of y'all think every one of those are pretty good things? See, I want to just tell you something. The Holy Spirit was one of the most unifying things that happened in the Bible. But in today's day and age, it has become the most dividing thing in the Bible. Now listen to me. There are so many movements are trying to explain away the Holy Spirit, trying to say that the Holy Spirit is over, the Holy Spirit is done. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit's not done. You know, I'm just so thankful. I mean, God help me and Jesus help me if the Holy Spirit wasn't helping me. Come on. The Holy Spirit was evident. It birthed the church, and if it birthed the church, it's going to complete the church. Okay, and I see no evidence in the Bible that it's over with. And so people always ask, are you Pentecostal? I get that question, are you Pentecostal? And they really mean, are you in a religion? Are you the denomination? Now, when I met Jesus in a very real way in the late 1900s, this is what that meant. What that really meant was this. That meant, do you handle snakes? Yeah, they really, that's what they would ask. Like, you're not one of them churches, are you? I said, I've never been to a church service with snakes. Thank you, God in heaven. Okay, that would not be a good church service with me. Okay, I'm just telling you that right now. You know, I don't believe in that. Okay, I don't even like non-poisonous snakes. I don't like anything. I don't even want. Now that I said it, I'm gonna be dreaming about it tonight. Okay, so pray for me right now. Okay, so that's not what it means. It means that you believe in the power and the presence of God in the day of Pentecost. Do you still believe it has power today? So the first thing, let's launch in here. A Holy Spirit-filled church has these four evidences in its people. Number one, courage, boldness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus' words, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Export, in Murrysville, in Monroeville, and to the other ends of the earth. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Okay. So, you go in Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and to the ends of the earth. That's there. Then Peter, in verse 14, Peter steps forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all yins. That's what he said, okay? He said, yins, guys, yunzes. Okay, listen up. He said, listen carefully, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about it. And then he preaches a great sermon there. He goes, this is that. He says, this is that was talked about a long time ago. This is that. That's what he says. There's a whole message right there. This is that. But Peter, the one who was afraid to talk about Jesus, the one who got outed by a 12-year-old girl. I don't know that she was 12. I think she was 12. Okay, that's just my opinion. And so he got outed by a girl. He's afraid to speak. He's timid and hiding away. Now becomes the one that steps up and speaks boldly. Do you see what just happened there? He spoke confidently. He spoke boldly there. That's courage. But courage not just to speak out, but to live out loud. Do you know what our culture is waiting for? Our culture, the day and age we live right here in the east suburbs of Pittsburgh, it's waiting for people to live out loud what they say they believe. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to be different. Do you work and do you live in the same world I do? No, do you live in the same world I do? I mean, I went to the arts festival yesterday. I walked around. I had to readjust my helmet of salvation when I was done. Okay, we live in a crazy world. Okay? Now, it's crazy. What I'm saying is we need the courage to be different. We need the courage to speak up. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is not arrogance, is not being proud, is not being smug looking down on others. No, that's not the evidence. No, it's humble yet confident. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you're going to have my power to be my witnesses, which really means martyr, by the way. That you're going to be able to stand up for me in the midst of horrible circumstances and live courageously in this world and live differently here. We are the ones that should speak out in confidence, with justice, and not have the poor oppressed. We are the ones that should be able to live out loud and say that there's mercy and freedom. Am I right or wrong? With love and compassion. Right? That's what it means to be courageous here. This is the way the church was birthed. So the second evidence, a Holy Spirit-filled church, will have these four evidences. The first one is courage. The second one is conviction. Conviction. In Acts 2:37, Peter's words pierced their hearts. It pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What should we do? See, when the Holy Spirit's evident, the same people that had a hard time understanding the word earlier, now, there's a conviction that something's not right. What should we do? Because we want to be right with God. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's evidence of, wait a minute, there's something not right. I want to not just think or have information. I want my information to go to revelation that leads to transformation. The Holy Spirit transforms us into thoughts and information, turns it into revelation. What should we do? Then when you actually do it, we become transformed. See, it's a transforming God. And I want to let you know today, you can do the stuff that's in the Bible. You see, our experience is based on the Word of God, and the Word of God defines our experience. Unfortunately, we read stuff in the Bible, and we see all this cool stuff happening, but it's different than the experience we're happening. And what I'm trying to do is get us in alignment, which the Word of God gives us basis for our experience, and our experience is found in the Word of God. Are you with me this morning? See, the two have to align. One can't outweigh the other. That's the important thing. So conviction. So when you're listening to great preaching, the result should be, what shall we do? What shall we do? Some of you are a little concerned about saying that right now. Come on, like, face it. Tell the truth and shame the devil. We're in church. Come on. But what shall we do is the result, because conviction leads to character. Character, Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, mercy, gentleness, patience, long-suffering. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's how we know the Holy Spirit's at work. When everything's going crazy, I still have peace, in kindness, in gentleness, in love. That's not just my personality, but it comes out of my spirituality. Are you with me today? Are you glad you came to church today? Pentecost Sunday. Is this starting to make sense to you now? See, we got to connect the dots of what's in the Bible here. The Holy Spirit is a good thing here. Now, last thing I'm going to say about conviction. How many of you have ever sinned? On your way to church today. No, yes, I have. No, yeah. When I step over the line, we should feel a little tug in our heart. Not shame. No. Not pain. A drawing close to God and saying, I stepped over the line, I'm sorry. When I step over the line and I cop an attitude at my wife, and I say things that I shouldn't say, or something stupid comes out of my mouth, which is evidence I still need redeemed, the Holy Spirit tugs on my heart and says, that wasn't good. You're wrong. And I say, okay, Holy Spirit, what shall I do? When you step over the line at work, or maybe you do, something's happening, and you feel that tug, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's not pushing you away. You're bad. You're evil. No, the Holy Spirit's drawing us closer to God. That's God saying, come on close. Come closer. Come closer. This is a work of God. Are you with me now? So the question we all should say when we feel that is, what shall I do? God, what shall I do? Holy Spirit, what shall I do? Because that happens, and we all need those what shall I do moments. Am I right? I do. I need them. Okay. And so moving along here, conviction and conversions go in a pattern. Four times in the book of Acts here, there's convictions and conversions go together here. And that means there's a pattern of when the Holy Spirit showed up, people responded to the invitation to become followers of Jesus. It's a pattern that we see four times here. Let's look at two of these. Acts 2:41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That means they repented here and they were baptized to be identified as a follower of Jesus, about 3,000 people. How many of you know that's a good day? That's a good day right there. The second one here in Acts 9:31, again, a pattern that we see in the book of Acts in the New Testament, is the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and it also grew in... Yeah, you see the pattern here is over and over where the Holy Spirit is, there's a growing, multiplying church. That means we should expect, okay, when the Holy Spirit's active, that there's a growing church. God's adding to the numbers those who are becoming followers of Jesus. That should be the norm here. What I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit is not so we can have really cool church services. Now, I would much rather have a church service with the Holy Spirit than without, because I've done it both ways. Come on. But the purpose is courage, conviction, character, and conversions. People meeting Jesus in a real way. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit helped me meet Jesus in a very real way. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not a work of my information. That's a work of the Holy Spirit revealing to me, uncovering to me. The Holy Spirit helps heaven get bigger and hell smaller. How many of y'all excited about that? Come on. See, that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about heaven. I mean, I'm waiting to get there. Don't worry. But I'm excited because it's going to be a never-ending, like, party. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. But it's going to be because people came to meet Jesus. And they know him. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him. Isn't that cool? Growing in numbers. This last one here, a Holy Spirit-filled church, has these four evidences in the people. Courage, conviction, conversions, and now we have community. Community. Yeah, community. Deep down, we all long for community. Am I right or wrong? We really do long for community. We really do long to be a part of something. In a few moments, Pastor Eric's going to invite us to belong to something and take a step of called 101, becoming a part of something, discovering our gifts and seeing how we can make a difference in the world. That's exciting. How many of y'all want to make a difference in the world? I do. Yeah, so we got to be a part of something. It's not me. This is the big deal with the Holy Spirit. It's no longer about me. It's more about we. That's how you know the Holy Spirit's at work. Because it's not just about my thing. It's about our thing. Guys who were arguing over who's going to be first and best are now working together. That's what we see in the book of Acts, results of the Holy Spirit. So look what they did here, all the believers, there's 3,000 of them, and they're looking back now, and they're saying they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper here. Wow. And to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. Church, let's never lose our sense of awe. Let's never treat God as ordinary. Let's just never get into a rut and a routine where God's just, oh yeah, it's just church, it's just people. Let's ask God today to renew our sense of awe. Perform many miraculous signs, many miraculous wonders here. So the power of Pentecost resulted in the people devoted to teaching, a people devoted to prayer, fellowship, communion, and generosity. I'm going to show you this one next. You can tell a people are affected by the Holy Spirit because they become generous. A generous God. Yeah, let's read on the next couple verses here. Let's look at this together. And all the believers met together, and they shared everything they had. And they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Yeah, do you have a need? Oh, yeah. I have stuff at home I don't need. And they sold it. And they shared it. And they gave generously. Wow. And they worshiped together at the temple. We come together and we worship together this morning. We sang songs together. They worshiped together at the temple here. And each day they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and what? And generosity was on them. Just as the first fruits, that's what they were remembering, the Holy Spirit gave first fruits of the wheat, we give first fruits of our money. You know what that's a result of? A Holy Spirit transformation. That's a result of Holy Spirit transformation, giving financially. When you start to see God so big that it's just, you're like, this is going to take God. I'm just going to give it. When we get paid, it's first 10%. Let's just give it. It's the first fruits. I'm going to give my first and my best. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, not a work of my flesh. It's not a work of my determination. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Who's with me? That's a sign. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship all those people who were being saved. What did God do? He added to them. Because the Holy Spirit was producing something, other people looked and said, I like that. I like that. The way you're laying down your life for your spouse, I like that. the way you're living a joyful life in the midst of adverse circumstances, I like that. The way you're living different and you're not controlled by what everybody else in the neighborhood says, I like that. That's the practicality of being led by the Holy Spirit. That's practicality. Do you see how practical the Holy Spirit is? Do you see that Pentecost really is a big deal for the day and age in which we live? Come on, somebody. Now, would you just do me a favor? Would you just stand to your feet? And we're going to be doing two more things here. And how many of y'all, Pentecost makes a little more sense now? How many of y'all, it makes a little more sense? Just a little. It's like, oh, okay. This is that. Okay, that's, it has to do with today. Okay, Okay, Pentecost Sunday. First of all, there was a couple verses there in Acts 2:38. When Peter, they said, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the... Yeah, there it is again. When you repent of your for forgiveness of sins, you receive the Holy Spirit, right? And for the promise is for you and for your children and for everybody who's far off now are invited in whom the Lord's calling to himself. Didn't we say that? The Holy Spirit's going to testify and call us to himself. Isn't that great? So baptism. In a couple weeks from now, we're having baptisms here. And if you've never been water baptized, if you've never been completely submerged in water, as an outward sign of what's already happened in your heart, you can do that on June 29th right here. You can do that. And we urge you to do it. Why wouldn't you want to do it? It's going to be cool. It's an outward sign. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I need all the help I can get. Come on, somebody. So today, when we're done, if you go back to our connection point, they'll help you get signed up for baptism. But before baptisms, have you repented of your sin? Have you repented, not just acknowledged your sin, but have you repented of your sin? That means turned the other direction and gone that way. That can only happen when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart. There's many people in the room right now. Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart because you believe in God, but you've never repented and turned towards God. And God's asking you for to repent and turn for the forgiveness of sin to become a follower of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I pray over every person here. Lord God, let today be a new day, a fresh start, Lord God. Let those who are far off meet you in a very real way. Lord God, we thank you for those who right now in their hearts are, what shall I do? And Lord God, let today be a day of repentance that they experience you in a real way, in Jesus' name. Now, if that's you right now, right here in this moment, and you'd like to begin a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, I just want you right now in this moment, so I can pray for you and other people can pray. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me right now. Just say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody here? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Last call. Anybody at all? Say, no, I want to be a follower. I want to repent. I want to be that person. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And if today, if you didn't want to raise your hand, you can fill out that blue card on your seat and check off, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And you can make that your commitment. That you're repenting today in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that moment of clarity. Thank you for that moment of newness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, the last thing we're going to do, this is for everybody in the room right now. How many of y'all would like a better relationship with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not going to beg. If you'd like to, what we're going to do is we're going to worship just like they did. They worship together. We're going to sing together. And then I'm going to invite you to come up front. I'm going to lead you in a prayer with the Holy Spirit to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. So if you're saying, yeah, I want a better relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you to get out of your seat and come forward. Just we're going to sing a song, and I'm just going to pray over you from here. Who all would like that today? Come on, just come on up. Come on up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? This is all you're saying is I just would like a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. Come on down. Come on down. Don't be bashful. Even if you're perplexed, just say, here I am. You know, here I am. Now, when I greet another man, I stick out my hand. And I say, how you doing? Now, ladies, I don't ever, like, that's not improper. Like, ladies, if you stick out your hand, then it's okay for a guy to stick out his hand. And usually when a lady sticks out her hand, she says, I'd like to shake your hand. I don't want to hug. Hallelujah. Okay? I get that. Okay. But so as a greeting, we stick out our hand. So I want you to greet the Holy Spirit right now where you are. I want you to greet the Holy Spirit. I know this may be different for you. Maybe you've never done this. I want you to greet the Holy Spirit with an open hand. Just, you can sit here. This is just you and God. They're going to lead us in a song. Then I'm going to come back and lead you in how to pray for